Right now, it is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's time for Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and politics. Brings many years of experience to those subjects and more. And I have a couple of questions to ask Mr. Lynch this morning. Good morning, Jim. Are you there, Jim? Jim, let's see if the incomparable Mr. Lynch is there. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning to you.
I have some questions for you, Jim.
Uh-oh, watch out.
I know. I know. Now, as a person who early in his life, when I was in his early 20s, figured I was going to make a lot of money, and I was going to do it in housing. And there was a house in Port Hue in New York that overlooked the Hudson River. Beautiful. And it had Dutch oven in the kitchen and everything, but it was a house that was owned by drug dealers, and it was raided, and holes were caught in the floors and stuff like that, and it went for an unbelievably low price. Now, I was a young disc jockey at the time, not making much money, but it was at the time where interest rates were variable. They were very low, and it would float and stuff like that. So I went and got a loan. Well, right after I got that loan, about 6 months later, the interest rate went from like 3% to like 19%, right where prime was. And I was a dead duck because I was young. I was stupid. I didn't know. And it just didn't appear to me. Now, my question is this, Jim. If Elon Musk buys Twitter and he puts together a package with financing of $44 billion, how can this make money?
Well, I think the real question is, does this man really want to make money, or does he want to influence Americans to see it his way politically? And I would say that's what he wants to do. He is a Trump supporter. He's what they call a libertarian, whatever that means. But he is very anti-government, anti, in my opinion, democracy. And he's selecting the weaker of the two, Facebook versus Twitter, because he believes he will get control, and he'll mold it in the way he'd like. I don't know that he might have bitten off more than he can chew, but he is worth a lot of money, and depending on his financing, which is probably very attractive rate-wise versus interest rates of the last 20, 30 years. However, you know,
I guess
when you get involved with a product that's involved with againstness, it goes somewhere for a while, but it doesn't have a long-term life.
You know, here's what I don't understand, Jim. He proved the experts wrong about Tesla. He proved that he could build rockets cheaper and faster and just as efficient, if not more efficient, than NASA contracting out to big, huge corporations. He built a space capsule that has sent people now to the space station and back. He has his battery company. He has Starlink. These are all magnificent, magnificent achievements that he's... And he has, when there's an old commercial, remember, when Merrill Lynch speaks, everybody listens? Well, Elon Musk has that right now without purchasing Twitter because he's been so successful in those other venues.
You're absolutely correct. And that underscores the fact that he's getting involved in something which doesn't have the same finite result that he's gotten in these other ventures. Let's face it, fine, he did this great car, but the idea was he gave people something that they understood. It was a very good, forward-looking move. which would save the money and add to fuel economy and make for a better life for them that they could see. Twitter is something that is full of people saying things. A lot of it, by the way, is very informative, but you have a whole group of people that will flood Twitter from the other sites, which currently are catering to very Nazi-like, nasty, negative individuals. And since Musk wants this town hall free expression kind of thing, without any rules or regulations, you'll see a lot of people getting on Twitter who couldn't get on Twitter before, who were thrown off Twitter because of their negative approaches to things, and who also were so strong in their negative desires to express that they went to these lesser sites. This man, you know, if you want a good result, deal with those things that products or ideas that would achieve a good result for those who you are looking to help and also helping to sell. But Twitter just opens up the universe to more unadulterated negativity. Now, I don't know what the FCC is going to do with Twitter as a non-public entity. In other words, it's not going to have any stock outstanding, but it definitely will have a platform. And we'll see. This is going to be a big deal for Congress if he really goes through with the deal and if he doesn't get outbid and if something else doesn't come up to squash the deal. It's going to be very interesting how Congress deals with a free-for-all, and very interesting as to how much negativity individuals can take. You know, I go back to what we all learned in grade school. You have a right to talk and to be free, but you don't have the right to yell out fire in a crowded room. And that's what these negative people and the places they put their information do. The misinformation, as President Obama has told us, and which I think most of us are aware of, grows by leaps and bounds as people seemingly want this grievance kind of conversation about their lives. And in terms of Musk, look, he's obviously very successful. But I'm saying that equals he has the money, and he has, if you worry, he can deal with this thing as a hobby. I don't know what the financing is going to look like, but, you know, this guy is not putting up all $44 billion. And you know, crazy things happen.
All right, we'll move on from Musk and Twitter to the headline that came across my news feed yesterday. Morgan Stanley warns of a potential bear market. Well, hell, I could have warned that. You know, really, come on, Jim. You've been talking about this now for months.
Right. Well, timing is important. Well, I can't speak for somebody else's opinion. I mean, the analyst, if it's the guy I'm thinking about, is a very good one, and it's a very good firm. And people sometimes, you know, their timing isn't all that great. But besides that, I gave folks over the months some very simple things to look at. If you recall, the market bottomed out during the panic in the pandemic at about 18,000. And I was mentioning it, well, it got to 28,000 and 32,000, 36,000. And I just simply said to people, on the Zaire and elsewhere. How much do you think you need to make on your money before you sell and take your profit? And that was one of our ideas generally. But the other ideas in the last several months was very specific in terms of the fact that the Federal Reserve has told us several times and has started doing the raising of interest rates, which is negative for stocks, because back to Moscow, back to any business, if you own a business and rates go from 2 to 3 and then finally to 5% or 6% to finance your business, your earnings are going to be impacted. And when earnings are impacted, that means the stock has a great chance of going lower unless there are some other mitigating factors. Now, there have not been mitigating factors to the bear case in the sense that we've already had some tremendous economic strength courtesy of Biden having the guts to face the pandemic and spend a lot of money. In the process, we have given people a lot more money than some people had over the last 5 years, and they've been spending it, and products have been moving up, and inflation in the process, one, because of demand, and two, because oil companies and other companies have basically been taking advantage of some of the shortages in our economy due to logistics. In other words, goods have taken longer to get here and so forth and so on. But, I mean, these things, the key thing is the general thing. You do not buy equity to hold forever. And now I know a lot of great big people have done that, but they've had staffs of people to guide them, even the great Warren Buffett. And they have big portfolios, and they diversify, and they are always kicking some stocks out and buying some stocks. The average individual, when he gets involved, we'll say with a stock fund, he doesn't have that that opportunity. He doesn't have the ability to be that flexible, which is why I gave folks this common sense approach. If you think it's going to the sky, then you're wrong. Nothing goes to the sky.
Don't be such a douchebag. Yeah, nothing goes. No, you're actually right. Nothing goes up and up and up and up, which we've all learned sometimes the hard way. You know, there's also a story about Congress, a bipartisan effort that really is going to rewrite. I don't know if you've seen this. 401k and savings. Have you seen that piece of legislation that looks like it's going to pass?
I have not studied it, so I really can't opine on it.
It's interesting. It's going to require all eligible workers to get a retirement plan at the 3% of salary. It'll allow workers between the ages of 62 to 64 to increase their 401k and 403b catch-up contributions to $10,000 a year, up from $6,500 a year. It'll let employees treat student loan repayments as selective retirement account deferrals. It'll lift the minimum age at which enrollees must begin withdrawing money from 75 to 72. And it requires employees to allow part-time employees who work at least 500 hours a year for 2 years, that's just under 10 hours a week, to contribute to a retirement account. Those things in their general don't sound that bad to me, but you always worry how legislation starts off and ends up.
Well, that's, I'll repeat again. I have not read, more importantly, studied what you're talking about. So my opinion is, not meant to be flip, but rather, just addressing what you've given me. And it's like a Christmas tree that Congress is trying to create. It sounds terrific, okay? And the idea that they're looking to help those people who in economic declines really are most vulnerable. But there's so many things in it that I would think, again, it's an opinion without a lot of the studying, it'll be watered down. So I would say, going forward, I will sit down with it and analyze it from just a practical standpoint of, one, does it really work as it should work? And two, is it more than, is there more meat than what I see? I mean, you know, remember Obama's health care plan and how the Republicans worked very, very hard to prevent it from happening? And the thing is, initially, the Republicans have had a lot of followers. Oh, there was something wrong with this thing, and there was a lot of publicity, and ads were taken out, and so forth and so on. I guess where I'm coming back to is, it's not long ago that Mitch McConnell had a sit down this guy from Florida who proposed things like cutting Social Security and those things that are near and dear to individual citizens. So without, again, really, it sounds terrific. Can Congress do it? I don't know if they can or if they have the desire to.
Well, that's the whole thing. They can do it, and the desire seems to always be there in the beginning, especially when you have bipartisan sponsors of legislation, both Republicans and Democrats. But then over the whole long haul, when things get tacked on to bills, other things, it most of the time ends up that bill being a totally different bill than was than imagined. That's just the way our government works. Well, we'll wind up on some good news here, Jim. About our economy. And we can say what we want about the economy. Yeah, prices are high. Things are going like that. We're not in a war, though, so that's good. But United Parcel Service, all right, there's two things here. They beat profit estimates. Why? Because of e-commerce. The U.S. Post Office, they're beating profit estimates. Why? Because of e-commerce. And I'm not supporting e-commerce over local commerce. I'm just saying some things. And Ford. Ford, when they came out with their electric truck, said, well, they're never going to compete with Musk because, well, Musk truck's not out yet. Chevrolet is just coming out with a pickup truck. Ford now is in its third year, and it's going so well, they have to boost production as they try to get that corner, like the 150 regular truck has gotten the corner in for the past 50 years. These are all positive signs that linger in the background that people don't hear about. They just hear about the doom and gloom of inflation right now.
You know, it's interesting you bring those auto companies up. I myself have savored the idea that these people are going to begin to give Musk a real run for his money. They're truly American companies, made in America. Musk is got a lot of manufacturing elsewhere, but it's a product that is more American, let's put it that way. So I can see that growing in terms of sales and acceptability. Yes, we do have a lot of good things going on, which is amazing. The Biden administration doesn't seem to be able to get that across to citizens. We've done a lot of work, for instance, in the healthcare area, in the homeless, the unemployed. Now, a lot of it is subsidization and is not long-lasting. But it shows you that we have the might in our economy to take care of those who need to be taken care of. And this in spite of inflation. The inflation, if we handle it properly, will eventually peter out. But right now, it can't peter out because we have this problem logistically getting things from point A to point B, in this case, be it China, to the United States. We have to be aware that one thing that's impacting this inflation is, for instance, China, which is again on lockdown. which means their people aren't working, which means their people aren't buying. And the net result is when people need something, they're going to pay up for it to maintain their health, their psychology, et cetera. There also is the oil companies definitely have been fooling around with prices in terms of gouging. There really is, as you can see with the price of oil now, it's back to 98. You get up to about 120. I'm not talking at the gas pump. I'm talking the natural oil. So I think we have more to be thankful for than is evidenced by a lot of conversations that we hear about, oh, inflation. I think more importantly than inflation, people should focus on what we're doing to maintain the world peace we've had without a third world war for a long time. And we should focus on the fact that this country is standing up for our democratic way of living, of prospering, of voting. These are things not to be taken lightly if you look at the rest of the country. And I don't know why people are gravitating to the right politically. And when you see what the result is, autocratic type of governments throughout the world, throughout the non-free world, I would say. And if you look at the look at Russia in terms of the way it deals with people, as opposed to the other countries involved in this conflict, you know, they imprison people, they shoot them in the head. You know, is that what we want? Is that what Musk wants? Is that what Trump wants? The ability of the government to do evil rather than good? We need to pay attention to this. We need one for, let's pay attention to Obama, and let's talk to our mates, and let's talk to our friends about this negativity going on. We have to stop this. There's no reason for us to be negative. You want to be negative? Go to India in the streets where people have nothing to eat. China, the same deal. Russia, they don't get any information about their children that have been sent to war and slaughtered in Ukraine. So this misinformation thing, we used to have the greatest education system in the world, etc. We no longer do. How could we, with all these stupid people who involved in MAGA and this, that, and the other thing? How can we maintain this great democracy if we continue to listen to the lies coming out of this guy McCarthy, the head of the Republicans in the House, who is on tape saying something, and he continues to lie that he didn't say it? That equals authoritarianism. If you can get away with that, you can get away with a lot more that hurts the population.
We have to end it there, Jim, because we're only about 40 seconds left here before I have to switch to the news. But it's always great to speak to you, Jim.
Good to talk to you, Marshall.
Take care.
Have a great week, everybody.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch, and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio, robinhoodradio.com on the web.